people for a lot of it. Not to say that people just don't care, but I don't know. People just have their own priorities, and you know what the queers are doing to the soil is not one of them.
Exactly. Most people just really genuinely don't care. I suspect that most people are going to be annoyed by gay people this summer for traffic disruptions due to Pride parades. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're trying to get somewhere and there's a, you know, a darn parade, you know, waltzing across the road. But we do move fast. Gay people walk fast. So the parades, generally speaking, don't take a huge amount of time.
Well, I mean, you could also say we walk fast, but we're bad drivers, which is why every Pride parade is terrible, because they can't get the floats around the corners.
They need more lesbians in these trucks.
They don't know swing left before you turn right. It's just when you got a big rig. Yeah, no, it's you could make all kinds of bad driver jokes there, because it is the floats in reality that the Toronto parade a few years ago that just got held up for like 6 hours. Not the BLM one, the one that was otherwise fine, but still took 2 hours longer than expected. It was the floats. Yeah. So, I mean, but not the marchers. The marchers were just booting it, because they're like, we got to get from point A to point B. There's floats in the way. At point B, there are beer gardens. Let's go, let's go, let's go.
Exactly. That's how we manage it. All right, lots more news coming up in the show. We're going to be talking about a recent study into how the British Armed Forces had treated their gay and LGBTQ soldiers, and pivot that to a bit of an update from the LGBTQ Purge Memorial/Monument in Ottawa. As well, news from Japan, Uganda, Cyprus, Latvia, the Ukraine, and Tegan and Sarah features briefly in our update as well. All of that and more coming up just after this song, Someone to Forget by Lights. I'm playing it on the same machine that you're on here, Seb, so I'm going to meet you, and we'll be back just after this.
Someone to
Hello and welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name remains Luke Smith, and Sebastian is muted, and he will be joining us back in any second.
Oh my god, you muted me. Oh, my poor heart.
Yep. Well, I mean, it happens. Sometimes you say outrageous things, and I'm like, wait, sorry, we're losing the connection. Everyone's faked the tunnel on a phone call every now and then, so there we go. We make it work. All right, I did want to just clarify in a closing note about the Blue Jays and Anthony Banks's response there. You know, I think it is important that the Blue Jays and other organizations be strong advocates for people being their whole selves in mm-hmm. sport, from the professional soccer players that have come out mm-hmm. and other sports. What we know is that when they are not spending some of their brain time trying to hide or worrying about whether or not their teammates are going to have their back, when you're not wasting all your energy doing that, you are a much better player. Like, that's consistently proven. So mm-hmm. making sure that, you know, the Blue Jays is a team that welcomes and empowers gay folks so that they can be the best players they can be and then be better for the team. Always good things. So I think as long as that happens, then mm-hmm. you know, we're good to go. You had a couple of updates as well. I did see you mentioned Uganda. We'll get into that in just a few minutes. But first of all, you have an update from Montreal that we're currently monitoring.
Well, it's at this point in time, it's kind of a non-story. Because details are yet to come in. There was a shooting in the village in Montreal, and a 61-year-old gay man has died, and they're yet to release the names. It happened in Ville-Marie. So if you know Montreal, then you know that is it's sort of outside the – it's really weird. They said that it happened in the village, but then the guy was found in Ville-Marie. I'm not sure what the details are. It's very bizarre. The only thing that they have concluded was that there was a gunshot to the upper torso and that it has definitely been ruled to be a homicide.
Hmm.
People are a little bit worried. I think a lot of people are worried about a Toronto situation again, but it could just be personal. It could be a theft.
Just to clarify, when you say Toronto nothing. Situation, you're referring to Bruce MacArthur, who was the yes. serial killer active here for a while. Mm-hmm. The serial killer active during the time of Mark Saunders as the chief of police. And we know how well that case was handled by the Toronto Police Service. So mm-hmm. I'm just mentioning that. Not that anyone in particular is running for mayor of the city of Toronto, but it's always mm-hmm. worth reminding people who is responsible for one of the largest serial killers in queer history in Canada.
Well, I mean, the real villain of the story is Bruce MacArthur
yeah,
himself.
Yeah, I think actively choosing not to participate in the National Missing Persons Database also comes with a degree of negligence.
Oh, and, yes.
Yeah, I have very few kind things to say about uh-huh. How the leadership of TPS managed the Bruce MacArthur serial killings. So, but that's a whole different can of worms that I can always mm-hmm. crack open. I wanted to talk about a report that came out of the UK. They were looking at, let me get it right, it's the LGBT Veterans Independent Review Report mm-hmm. Out of the UK, and they were looking into the service members from 1967 to 2000. And the report itself has just been handed into the British government mm-hmm. for review, but elements of it have been leaked. Now, Canada underwent a somewhat similar process with the LGBTQ Purge organization that got set up. Mm-hmm. That did a huge study into folks who were dishonorably discharged. The shocking testimonials and some of the content that's been leaked from this report, from people who served in the British Armed Forces from mm-hmm. 67 through to 2000, was that many of them endured horrific treatment, including, trigger warning here, folks, including sexual assault, extra surveillance from their superiors, even electroshock therapy that left bruises and other burn marks on them. There has been a torrent of people commenting who had been in the armed forces and then discharged, sharing some of their experiences. The mm-hmm. report is entirely independent from the British government and the armed services in the UK. It is being head up by Lord Everett, I think it was, QC, I believe he's a former judge, who is doing this independent report. I think the recommendation is to compensate all of these soldiers who were kicked out by virtue of just being gay for loss of pension, loss of pay that happened. And I bring that up because that's very much what the LGBTQ fund, the LGBT Purge Fund is in Canada. There was a similar investigation, big similar report that found that I do not recall mention of electroshock therapy in the Canadian context. I feel like I would have remembered that.
There was the fruit machine, which is similar but not identical.
Yeah. So the iconic use of the fruit machine is one of the Canadian solutions here. But the fund was created. It has a lot of money in there. Anyone who was dishonorably discharged or, you know, let go by the Canadian Armed Forces and the Ministry of Defence, you know, prior to the ending of those policies, may well be eligible for recompense through the Purge Fund. So please go and take a look. I think it's LGBTPurgeFund.ca or something equally so. A Google search will easily find you this particular thing. The fund was created, as you may recall, because I think the Canadian government was trying to discreetly dodge a very large class action lawsuit. Not that the Canadian government has a reputation for trying to dodge class action lawsuits, but on this occasion, they created the Purge Fund as a way of being able to manage a payout. I think it was a settlement with folks who had been affected, and a part of that went to go fund a monument and a place of recollection and thought, a monument in Ottawa. I believe it's going to be near the Supreme Court, just on the riverfront. We were discussing the design about a year ago. They announced who the winning bid was. It was Winnipeg with a sort of large pillar with like a hollow pillar with like the way it's all like shaped. When you're standing, it's supposed to remind you of a big cloud. They've updated the design just this past couple of weeks. And now, like, the really nice bridge is gone. The hollow pillar looks a bit wider and more spaced out. Essentially, someone's gone and looked at their design and be like, that's lovely. Not remotely accessible with a wheelchair, but lovely.
It could have also been there's an ongoing battle between engineers and architects that has been under the surface for centuries, and the architects want to build things that are beautiful, and the engineers look at their buildings and say, you know, that's not going to stand up, right?
Yeah, so I think the engineers have got a hold of it this time, and you know, the sidewalks are all a bit wider, and you know, the memorial piece is now on ground floor, not up where it was. But you know, they've accessibility-ified the design. Now, as long as civil servants don't get their fingers on it, because that's when all the fun and joy gets sucked out of the design.
Yeah, you don't want to be the design by committee, yeah. But to go back to the UK story, I have heard that one of the requests for the settlement is for King Charles to apologize on behalf of the Crown. Now, obviously, he was not the one who made any decisions back in the 60s. It would have been, not even Queen Elizabeth II, because She was largely hands off with the military, but still, as the Crown and the representative of the United Kingdom, they would want an apology from Charles.
I think it's worth mentioning, because I think this is a cultural context that gets lost a lot. When I think people are familiar with the affiliation of the President of the United States as the Commander in Chief, the sort of symbolic, important tie of the U.S. Armed Forces and their president. Like, there is this tie. Now, that's the sort of relationship that the British monarchy has to the British Armed Forces. Mm-hmm. The role of Her Majesty the Queen until her recent death, like, she was intrinsically linked. I think nearly all of the male members of the British royal family have gone through and served in various different regiments in the armed forces. All of them are ambassadors or representatives of different branches of the armed forces. So the Crown and the army are so, like, they're hand and glove
in
terms of their relationship. So it's more about, I don't think it's about sort of a mea culpa in terms of ministerial policy, because it would have been a policy of the Ministry of Defense.
It would have been
a policy of multiple successive Labour and Conservative governments. Rather, it's about acknowledging that consequence from a leadership perspective from your figurehead, your leader at the time. And I think there is definitely a place for King Charles to acknowledge and apologize.
Yeah. And culturally, in England, the crown is England. So if England is apologizing, but the crown is not apologizing, then England has not apologized. So, I mean, there is that little cultural thing as well. I don't think Charles is going to say no to that if they come to that conclusion. And he doesn't seem like the kind of guy to put his foot down on that one. But
yeah, no. And likewise, we had the Prime Minister Trudeau famously apologized at Parliament for the treatment of LGBTQ service members.
But the Canadian equivalent would be that it should have been the Governor General.
I think the Governor General also apologized. I think all over the place. But yeah, so we've been keeping an eye on it. I did want to mention, keeping one side eye on the time here, a couple of other Canadian stories. Do you recall that Tegan and Sarah released a memoir called, I think it was High School?
I remember that.
They've now released a graphic novel I think it was Junior High.
Okay.
And it's based on their sort of pre-high school years. Really, it's been billed as, you know, there's definitely a few different things out there expressing, there's a graphic novel called Junior High. You know, lots of things out there about, you know, being, you know, discovering your sexuality at different ages. But I think this might be the only graphic novel that explores the, you know, learning of your sexuality the same time as your identical twin. Like, they have quite a niche experience out there. So for all of our Tegan and Sarah fans, check out the graphic novel Junior High by them, which I believe dropped only in the last couple of days. It's so relatively recent that happened. And then the last one I wanted to mention before we dive into a song, unless there's anything else I've missed from you, is the University of Oxford and Mansfield College in particular have announced a permanently endowed professorship in LGBTQ history in their history department. So there's to be an Oxford professor in gay history.
Okay. I do remember reading that title, and I read a little bit about it, but I don't know. It felt like a bit of a slow Newsweek story. I don't know. I guess it depends on your opinion about Oxford.
Well, for me, it's not necessarily about Oxford, but I think, you know, we talked about the LGBTQ purge and our, you know, the consequence of our queer history there and the big arc of time. You know, I think having someone, you know, focusing and capturing, because, of course, queer folks, you know, a lot of them died off in the AIDS epidemic. You know, the queer community has for decades and decades suffered from high rates of suicide ideation. And a lot of our culture is an orally transmitted culture. You know what I mean? Like, there's not a huge amount of documentation related to queer history in Canada. Whatever there is should go to the archives, the LGBTQ archives in Toronto and be stored there. Right. But I wanted to mention this story in the context of capturing queer history and you know, not letting it get lost to the annals of time, because it's this history of people, and that's easy to lose.
Or misconstrued to the annals of time. This is something like, I am very interested in queer history, but I don't know how many times I've read something about this historical figure or that historical figure was gay, and then you read what the evidence of that is, and there very little. Like, I think it was Antony? It was a Roman general had a reputation for being gay, and it was purely because when his best friend died, he cried at the funeral. So everyone's like, oh, must be gay. I don't know. People were just looking for something. It was really bizarre, but if it's a history professor who's very evidence-based, I would love to read his work and actually see what he has to say about things, because there's a lot of, because it is an oral history, there's a lot of things out there where the community says something and you look it up and you're like, it's 80% correct. I would love to see evidence-based history being done, which is exactly what the archives does. They don't make any claims that they can't back with a box of documentation, and they've got hundreds of boxes of documentation. So it's good work, yeah.
All right, we'll be back with a bit of a rapid roundup of the good international news that we've seen coming after this. This is Electric by the Calgary-based rapper Sincere, and we'll be back just after this.
Mm-hmm. Hello?
What you want tonight, fool?
Night.
I heard Shaniqua and them got a party tonight, and it's about to be lit.
Hey! We are getting off for the night. Get your back up off the wall. It's electric. Hey, it's a party tonight. Tell a friend to bring a friend. We are getting off for the night. Get your back up off the wall. It's electric. Picking the waist, slow mama got that cake and nine. Act up and I'm about to catch a case and nine. On and out of them states where you ain't and not. Tonight we finna skate, bodies hate us. Heating up hotter than the equator. If you a Debbie down, down, we don't rate, yeah. Put your hands up, up in the eight, yeah. Coming with the flavor in your eight, yeah.
Hey, it's a party tonight. Tell a friend to bring a friend. We are getting off for the night. Get your back up off the wall. It's electric. Hey, it's a party tonight. Tell a friend to bring a friend. We are getting off for the night. Get your back up off the wall. It's electric.
How you hating from the sideline? It's a cousin, slide in the skyline. I'm with your parlaying, we drinking Mai Tais. She wanna join the Mayo High. Sweet swish was with the gas, got her high high. Her man disappeared, out of sight, out of mind, right? Sipping Henny, spilling liquor on these off white. Way too much liquor on this table, so it's shots,
hey, right? It's a party tonight. Tell a friend to bring a friend. We are getting off for the night. Get your back up off the wall. It's electric.
And welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. That was Electric by Sincere, a fantastically talented rapper out of Calgary. Now, I did promise a rapid round news update. You know, I love being able to share good news. We struggle sometimes to find good news internationally. But we were able to find a few of them this week, which is always worth sharing. Cyprus has rolled out a ban. It just passed the Cypriot Parliament, I believe that's the correct way of framing it, that would essentially ban conversion therapy in Cyprus. There's a fine now attached to it. Also, we saw that Kyiv's Pride from the Ukraine will be held in Liverpool. Now, you may recall that Liverpool hosted Eurovision on behalf of the Ukraine, and I think this is just a continuation of a bit of like a twin city kind of relationship that's happening between Liverpool, England, and Kyiv, Ukraine, whilst the Russians are still launching drone attacks into Kyiv. So yeah, it was quite a nice, pleasant story that they are still providing a space for Ukrainians to celebrate Pride.
Yes. A quick story out of Japan that the courts there basically said that it is unconstitutional to ban same-sex marriage. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be getting same-sex marriage this year, but they are one step closer. And a lot of the things like individual Shinto priests and Buddhist monks can marry people if they want, but the recognition that that's going to get is still in the air. They're figuring it out little by little.
Our listeners might be like, Japan same-sex marriage, this seems familiar, and that's because it is familiar. This particular ruling by the Nagoya District Court is that finds it unconstitutional is the latest in the string of recent rulings by superior courts in different areas. I believe that Osaka, there was a ruling there saying that the ban was unconstitutional. There was also a Tokyo court hearing relatively recently that also found it was unconstitutional. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, this is the third region in Japan at the highest level of the court to find it unconstitutional. However, the Japanese legislature has not yet addressed
the diet.
Yes, the diet. What are you trying to say?
Most interesting name for a government there is.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, all right. Yeah. I just wanted to clarify, if you're thinking déjà vu, you're not wrong. This is the third separate region in Japan that has discovered the exact same thing. The front runner for prime minister in Thailand was recently at a Thai Pride event initiative where they have promised to pass same-sex marriage legislation if they form government. So Pira, the front runner for the Thai prime ministerialship, has indicated that they will. Whether or not that can be banked on if you're Thai, who knows? We shall see. Politicians make promises all of the time, and not always do they follow through with them. That may shock and surprise some people, but hopefully not all. Do you have any global stories that I may have missed?
Nope. Just the only other thing that I found was that the front runner for the upcoming Thailand election also marched in the Bangkok Pride Parade.
Exactly. I think it was there that they made the promise. Yeah.
Not just lip service, actually getting out there and burning a calorie, literally burning a calorie by walking whatever length the parade route is.
And finally, the Canadian government has condemned the recent anti-gay law passed by the signed into law by the president of Uganda. The United States is reviewing potential sanctions and other restrictions as a result of this law. Essentially, the legal landscape of going into Uganda has changed as a result of this law, and they're looking at how their various structures in place work on that. We've not heard if Canada is considering any kind of similar efforts, but I know that the European Union is also reviewing what they can do. Globally, leaders all over the world have condemned this particular action. Even some people you may not expect, but we will continue to monitor the situation.
It is a bit much. I mean, you're going to get people from countries that are like a little bit mid when it comes to gay rights who look at this kind of thing and they say, that's, you know, we know who we are, but that's a bit much. So there are world leaders from all sorts of places, as you say, you wouldn't normally expect, who are speaking out against this.
Absolutely. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting and bringing the LGBTQ world news to our wonderful audience. We will be back next week. We're playing out with Josephine by TYA. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening. Can every time he leaves without saying goodbye. Empty bed with too much space. All he leaves is an empty tube of toothpaste.